It has been hailed as historic and aimed at securing peace in Europe for future generations. World leaders are in The Hague for the NATO summit. On the agenda, increase in defence spending, unity, and it seems keeping Donald Trump on side. It's the US president's first summit since 2019. Dan Saba, defence and security editor with The Guardian, is in The Hague and he joins us now. But Dan, before we go to the NATO summit and what's happening there, let's talk about that leaked intelligence report that the US military strikes on three of Iran's nuclear facilities last weekend did not destroy the core components of the country's nuclear program and likely only set it back by months. Vice President J.D. Vance had this to say about it last night at a Republican Party dinner in Ohio.
And to the Americans who are worried about this becoming a protracted conflict, I think the president solved that very quickly. Not only did we destroy the Iranian nuclear program, we did it with zero American casualties. And that's what happens when you've got strong American leadership.
So, Dan, conflicting reports in relation to the damage, has this tarnished Donald Trump's victory lap at the summit?
Well, it might. And that's the sort of thing that might worry European Canadian NATO leaders. Donald Trump, wants to come here on a high of NATO leaders agreeing this, finally agree what he's always wanted, higher defence spending. This, Trump's complained endlessly about what he sees as European free riding under the US security umbrella. But yeah, I mean, these leaked reports do suggest, although these assessments are very hard to make, but they do suggest that what seems to have happened in this massive US bombing raid last weekend, that they only perhaps sort of blocked, only the entrances were blocked off, and this nuclear site at Fordo in Iran, hidden under a mountain that's perhaps 80 to 90 meters deep, perhaps it's deeper than was appreciated. And Israel had been bombing Iran for a few days, so they had also, the Iranians had time to perhaps move some equipment, and above all, their sort of store of highly enriched uranium, the kind of uranium that it doesn't take much more to make a nuclear, bomb if the Iranians really, really wanted to. Maybe they've been able to hide that somewhere deeper and further away, even from the most powerful non-nuclear weapons in the world that Americans used. So, yeah, what happens when Donald Trump's asked about this at a press conference, which we expect about 3 o'clock in local time in The Hague here? Well, if he starts getting grumpy and tetchy, will he start getting grumpy and tetchy about other things? Will he start casting doubt on US commitments to NATO? People here are very focused on the notoriously unpredictable president's mood and want him to be more upbeat than not. That's the question.
Yeah, because we've seen efforts there to make him happy. He stayed at the Royal Palace last night. We saw ahead of his arrival, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte sending President Trump a pre-summit message, lavishing praise on his handling of Western alliance and the conflict in Iran. How was Donald Trump received when he arrived last night? What happened?
Well, I mean, Trump's received with great, expectation, anticipation. I mean, this is a very cut down summit. Normally, there's sort of, two, three working sessions, and a dinner. This time, there was only a dinner. Trump flew in at sort of seven p.m. or 7:30, I think it was actually, last night. Again, to be received at working dinner by the Dutch royalty, and now there'll only be this one working session this morning. There's going to be quite a short communique, only a few paragraphs long, with the essentials in. Again, it's all about, managing his attention span. And he'll be flying out, mid to late afternoon. So this is a sort of, this is a whistle-stop tour to try and keep him focused and to try and keep him, relatively speaking, pro-NATO and on message.
And Donald Trump and other US presidents have complained for decades about European defence spending. Are allies ready to sign up to a target to raise their defence spending? And is this enough to satisfy Donald Trump?
I think so. They really have been. And that's been perhaps the big surprise, because I think during Trump's first term, he made a lot of noises about European defence spending. He didn't quite have a plan. And a lot of people, I think, just sort of thought, well, give it a few years and it'll all go away and NATO hunker down. And he was surrounded by, in his own administration, people who were experienced but didn't necessarily want to go along with him. This time around, what's changed in the the 4 years, two things really. One of them is Vladimir Putin. You know, Vladimir Putin's invaded Ukraine, and everyone can see a clear and present threat from a remilitarized Russia, particularly in the east of Europe. And the second thing that's changed is that Trump's come back with a much clearer idea of what he wanted to do and achieve, a much more united team around him in the White House, very loyal vice president, defense secretary, etc. And so he said he wanted NATO countries to spend 5% on defense. And there's been a little sleight of hand, and what Mark Rutte, the secretary general, who's really been buttering him up, said, well, we'll do 3.5% on core defense, which is about what America spends, and about 1.5% on extra things, infrastructure, stuff that every country can handle. And this is all a bit abstract, but this is real. These are real and significant sums of money. And for example, in the UK that I'm most familiar with, you're talking about an increase from current target 2.5% by 2027 to 3.5% by 2035. And then what that means is £30 billion in real terms. And that's money that's got to be found from taxation or from other budgets. And then read across all of Europe and you're starting to talk about hundreds of billions of pounds.
Now, I can see on the screens in front of me a very enthusiastic NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte. He has been speaking to reporters in the last few minutes. Let's hear what he had to say.
I would think, look what the United States is doing, what Donald Trump is doing. They are spending almost $1 trillion on defense. They are by far the biggest contributor to NATO. They are delivering all the key enablers for NATO also here in Europe. I mean, they are a important ally. They are by far the biggest ally in NATO. They are over 50% of the total NATO economy. But what we now will do over the coming years is to bring down, step by step, shift the burden away from the United States, more towards the Europeans and the Canadians, which I think is fair. And in the meantime, we will also equalize the spending.
Now, on his way to the meeting, Dan, Donald Trump cast doubt on NATO's alliance's Article 5 mutual defence clause. What's been the reaction to that?
Well, this is exactly the Donald Trump that everyone's worried about. NATO, the military alliance article, its core article is Article 5, and that basically says an attack on one should be considered an attack on all, and it sort of broadly expects that other if one country's attacked, then other countries will come to his aid. So that's absolutely at the heart of any kind of military alliance. And Trump at various times has sort of said, oh, I don't know if the US would necessarily help a country that wasn't paying enough. And anyway, he was asked on Air Force One. I think he was in hyperactive mood because he was posting all the time as well, but he was asked on Air Force One as he came over the Atlantic, was he still committed to Article 5? And he started talking about different interpretations, but he did say he'd be committed to being other countries' friends. And then he sort of said, oh, well, I don't want to get into it while I'm on the plane. So what on earth was all that about? I don't know. But it just shows he's, when you sort of press him, sometimes the commitment isn't quite there. And this is the problem. This is the anxiety that NATO leaders will have. What are we going to get? A sort of a shining, beaming Trump who's scored a diplomatic coup over Europe and a military coup in Iran and be upbeat about it? Or are we going to get someone more recalcitrant who's going to start saying, well, I don't know, I'm sort of half committed to this, to be honest, and I'll do it the way that I want? And suddenly perhaps setting new conditions that people hadn't quite expected.
OK, so definitely an unpredictable day ahead. Dan Saba, Defence and Security Editor with The Guardian. Thank you. It is 7:20.